Okay. The definition of insanity is that if we keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, then that is kind of what is insane. Because if you do the same thing this week, this coming week, as you did last week, and expect a different result, and you keep doing that, then that's just crazy. See? That's just insane. You're going to, if you want something different, you see, if you want a different result, then you're going to have to do something different. But how many times do we think, well, it's dependent upon circumstances? It's not dependent upon something that we do. It's dependent on something outside of our control. Proverbs chapter 30. Somebody told me, they said, you know, that they really had been reading a proverb a day for a while. They really didn't start getting anything out of it until they read Proverbs chapter 1 and it said, read it for wisdom. See? If you read the Proverbs for wisdom, it's a whole different thing than just simply reading a proverb a day. But Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 24, beginning with that, I want to talk a little bit about how great things come in small packages. See? And the proverb in chapter 30 and verse 24 says that there are four things which are little on the earth, but exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, and yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers, or the conies in some translations, are feeble folk, but they make their home in the crags. The locusts have no king, but they advance in ranks. The lizard, or some translations say the spider, skillfully grasps with its hands, and it's in king's palaces. So here's some things that are small, but exceedingly wise. The events of the coming week will be made up by things that are seemingly small, but will we use them for wisdom? Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am grateful and thankful for this day. I'm grateful and thankful for your word, and pray that as we look at each of these things, that we can see the wisdom there and that we can put that into our life this coming week, precept upon precept and line upon line. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It should be apparent to us that God works through, oftentimes, the minute, the small. Abraham, a lone pilgrim 90 years old, to the orphan slave child Moses, to the little shepherd boy David, God's Word teaches us great truths through seemingly insignificant and small people. Even Jesus was born in a small way. Not the grand entrance of a king, but in a lowly stable in Bethlehem. Even the people who were chosen to carry the message of the church were lowly fishermen, not a real esteemed profession, just blue-collar factory guys. God has a way of putting value into something seemingly insignificant or small. When you were conceived, no matter how big you get, biologists tell us that when you were conceived, you were no bigger than a grain of salt. Now, some of us have grown more than others. But when you were conceived, you were no bigger than a grain of salt. The value of something does not depend on its size. That's why our group needs to realize who we are. See? And then to play to that strength where God has put us. Jesus started with 12. Even after Jesus was brought back to life, even after the resurrection, the church only numbered 120. The population of Palestine was about 4 million. That meant about 1 in 30,000 people were in the church. Yet consider what a great work started from that 120 who had gathered together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit falls on the 12 apostles. The 12 begin to speak in unknown languages. They have a sign from God. Tongues like fire. They're speaking in different languages. And a sound like a mighty rushing wind. God started from that small group. And now is populating heaven through the body of Jesus. What the proverb tells us is to take a look at the ant. What the ant is not, he is not strong. But he's wise because he plans ahead. An ant brain has about 250,000 brain cells. A human brain has about 10 million brain cells. So a whole colony of 40,000 ants collectively has about the same size of brain as a human. But what does that ant with a little tiny brain, what does he do? That ant with a little tiny brain is wise, the proverb says, because he plans for harder seasons. Just because it's summer now doesn't mean that winter's not coming. See, the ant is about forward thinking and acting. What are some of the time management mistakes that we make? We obsess about yesterday. We worry about tomorrow. Or we live for the moment. Why not change our thinking and put things in place for the future? Be prepared. Prepared for what? Well, prepared for temptations. See? John 16:33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. So why are you acting so surprised? In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's a given. You're going to have trouble. So plan on it. Be like the ant. See? Know that if you're not having trouble now, it's on the way. Be prepared for trials. James 1:14 says, but when each one is tempted, when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. God is about the right now. Who did he tell Moses at the burning bush that he was? Did he say, I am the great I was? I am the great will be? No. He said, I am the great I am. See? Moses said, who shall I tell the people what your name is? And God says, you tell them, I am. See? I am. Present tense God. Ants work with what they've been given. Joseph in the Old Testament was always second in command. He was second to his father. He was second to Potiphar. He was second to the prison guard. He was second ultimately to Pharaoh. But the Bible says, Ecclesiastes says, whatever you intend to do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. What you're learning to do now is going to be used in the day to come. God may have put you in the desert or in the wilderness right now, but the palace of Pharaoh is right around the corner. You ever kick over an ant hill? You ever stomp one of them ant hills and get them ants to scatter? You ever watch what they do when you kick over an ant hill? They start building again. They don't sit around and moan and say, oh God, somebody kicked over our hill. What are we going to do? I think I'm just going to sleep for a little bit. I'm so depressed. Give me some Zoloft. Oh, you kick over their hill, they start building it again. Ants don't waste time complaining. I think there's some wisdom there. They don't sit around and cry about what's happened to them. They simply start over. They just keep at it. There's wisdom in the ant. Just keep at it. There's also wisdom in the little rock badger, or the coney, as some translations call it. Now, the rock badger, the coney, they're not powerful. See? They're wise because they know where to stay. They stay in the rocks. Now, a coney is a real little grayish rabbit-like creature. A rock badger is a cute creature. See? They burrow when a predator comes looking for them. In order to get at them, the predator has to go through the rock. Now, I'm sure you're ahead of me. You see the analogy there with Jesus being the rock. But the conies, the rock badgers, are cute and cuddly and soft. That's what makes them attractive. See? But that is also their greatest weakness. You ever know that your greatest ability, your greatest talent on this earth can also be your greatest liability, can also be your greatest weakness? That thing that God has gifted you with, that ability, that soft and cuddly, that attractiveness, can be the very thing that will bring you down. Perhaps you can talk, but your mouth gets you in trouble. Maybe God's given you the ability to remember things, but you can't shake the past. Maybe God's given you the ability to cook, but you think it's a good idea to stay home from assembly and cook for your family. See? Or to care for children. Or various other things that God has gifted you with can really work against you. See, your greatest asset can become a liability. See, maybe you're outgoing, but you get hurt a lot. We are sometimes weakest at our strongest points because we think we can do it on our own. And the coney, the rock badger, is aware of his own weakness, so he seeks refuge in the rock. It realizes that it has to depend on something greater than itself for safety and security. Are you aware of your strengths, and are you aware of how these strengths can be weaknesses if we're not very, very careful? How these things can perhaps get us sidetracked from God's will? A rock badger is not ashamed that he needs a power stronger than himself. What is your escape? Where's the power that's stronger than yourself? See, the escape, Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, the refuge, the rock, is in prayer. The ant is persistent. The coney, the rock badger, is to know whom to depend on, to depend on the rock, to spend time in prayer. These things are small, but they are wise. The locust. What the locust doesn't have is a king or a leader. But the locust is wise because he knows that there is strength in numbers. A large swarm of desert locusts can consume 20 tons of vegetation a day. Locusts were one of the plagues of Egypt. Consider what damage can be done by a small locust when they are united in droves. If the church unites, we are a great force to be reckoned with. That's why the only time that you ever see that Jesus asks for anything for himself is in John 17 when he prays that his followers might be united. He prays that we might be one as he and his Father are one. Put aside the silly and foolish differences for the cause of Christ. The locust doesn't have a king, so they're not fighting each other for position. They don't have an Obama or a Hillary or a John McCain who's trying to be the leader of the locusts. They just simply all work together for a common cause. Look at how God lays this out in the New Testament. Peter preaches the first sermon. Paul takes the gospel to the Gentiles. John receives the end-time revelation. James is in Jerusalem with the elders. Stephen was a deacon and really the first martyr. God's all about people working together, not everybody having a different agenda that whatever works for me. Cooperation, see? Cooperation destroys competition. The locusts don't need a king to order them into groups. They have a determined destination. They know they're stronger together than they are separated from one another. Team player? Cooperative? Small, little locust. See, wise. Because they get together. They stand together. They march together. And lastly, the lizard, or New King James says the spider. Now, whether it's a lizard or a spider, what they are is easy to catch. They're small, they're insignificant, and they're everywhere. They're wise because they don't let that shortcoming, that easy to catch, that small, that insignificant, they don't let that shortcoming bring self-doubt. Notice that it can be caught in the hand, it still finds its way into the greatest places on earth. Had an opportunity when with Alan Marshall to go to Westminster Abbey. You know what? Westminster Abbey is an impressive place. And somebody still has to knock down the cobwebs. The spiders find their way in there. And they're not put off by their small and insignificant nature. See? Some lizards, I'm told that if you grab them, they can detach their tail. And the tail that's left behind wiggles, confusing the predator. And that tells me that the lizard is willing to let go. See? Some of us need to learn to let go in order to grow. Christian maturity is mastering the art of letting go. Lizards never stop growing. When they outgrow their skin, they simply shed their skin. Well, as Christians, we should never stop growing. The lizard's willing to cut its losses in order to move on to the next stage of life. You're hanging on to something? You're hanging on to a bad relationship, and you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. Remember, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again, and each time expecting a different result. If you do the same thing, you're going to get the same result. Are you hanging on to a bad job? A bad attitude? Maybe it's time to let God do some surgery on you. Get rid of the junk, or the junk is going to consume you. God's plan for you has nothing to do with your wisdom or your ability. God's plan for you does not depend on your giftedness. Great men and women become great because they believed they could be through the power of God. You believe in God, that's great. Now the question is, do you believe in yourself? Do you believe that you can have any impact to do anything different? Or are you willing to continue to do the same thing and blame God for not changing the circumstances? God believes in you. Every week He's telling you, He believes in you. And as we go out into the world, the question is, do we believe in ourselves? Jesus says, I have chosen you and I have appointed you. I have given you power. You are created to produce, to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Great things come in small packages. The ant, prepare. The rock badger, identify my strengths and make sure that I don't get in the way of God. The locust, there's strength in numbers. And the lizard, keep on growing. God hasn't turned His back on us. He's simply waiting for us to realize who we are. And He's waiting on you to do something different this week. The question is that it doesn't have to be parting the Red Sea. It doesn't have to be the event-oriented thing that we think, well, you know, we got to do this great big spiritual thing. No. It comes in the persistence of the ant. It comes, the wisdom comes in these small things. Simply a mental shift can make all the difference in the world. will begin to look and examine the rock badger. See, where's our strengths and where's our dependency and where's our rock and how much time have we spent in prayer? The locusts and cooperating together. See, knowing that the strength is not necessarily in the presentation, the number of people in the pews, but if you really are in a jam, do you know that you can call your brother and sister in Christ? See, if we realize that's who we really are, then we need to play to our strengths. We need to get on the phone and let people know that we're available. The lizard or the spider might seem insignificant, but we need to go everywhere, not to just each other. See? You can only oil the machinery for so long and then you got to get it out into the field. I mean, praise God for the church family and praise God for the fellowship that we have. But He said to go into all the world, not keep having cupcake parties of your own. See, there's only so much bodybuilding that a church can stand. And pretty soon you become muscle bound because, you know, boy, I got a Bible study every night of the week. Are you telling anybody about Jesus besides singing to the choir? How many people have you brought to the assembly? How many people have you asked? You see, these shifts in mindset can be huge and can be tremendous because we can think we're doing the work. All we're doing is spinning our wheels. You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. See the wisdom in the small things, in the ant, in the rock badger, in the locust, in the spider or the lizard that seems insignificant. And then go and preach the gospel because there is power in the blood. Number 903 is going to be our decision time. See, if you believe that there's power in the blood, then access that power this week. Access that power to use that as the motivating force to send us to be a pleasing people, to meet somebody, to be happy, to be upbeat. Does anybody really want what you got? I mean, if they look at you, do they want what you got? And if they don't want what you got, then you're going to have a hard time convincing them that there's any power in the blood. If you believe that there's power in the blood, see, then you're going to walk in the newness of life in these small things. Let's stand as we sing the first and last verse of 903. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win?